May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. How do we know what someone is like? What kind of a person he or she is? We might listen to the things that someone says, or these days look at what a person posts on social media. But we also need to look at what someone does, how a person acts in different situations, what kind of habits of behavior a person has. These tell us what someone is really like. Jesus knew this. That, I think, is why when he was challenged to declare whether he was or was not the Messiah, his reply was, in essence, "I have told you. I have told you by the things that I do." Jesus was returning the challenge. Look at the things that I do, and then you tell me who I am. But Jesus recognized another truth about human nature. It's what we call confirmation bias. We tend to pay attention to those things that reinforce our existing beliefs and dismiss evidence that contradicts our existing beliefs. Jesus said to those who challenged him, "You do not believe because you are not of my sheep." The impression we're given is that they weren't challenging him because they wanted him to reveal his true messianic identity so that they could be sure and could become his followers. They probably wanted him to say, as John the Baptist did when he was asked, "Nope, not me." Or perhaps some of them wanted him to declare himself Messiah so that they could accuse him of blasphemy and get rid of him. But it seems what they absolutely did not want to do was to look at the evidence and take it at face value and accept the conclusion that, yes, here is the one. The works that Jesus did that declared who he was and is were miraculous works, works that revealed the presence of the kingdom of God. Jesus' followers, too, would come to do works that would say something about who they were and what it meant to be a disciple of Jesus. Peter, for example, raising Tabitha from death was, I would suggest, a pretty declarative work. Here was someone who acted in the name of the risen Jesus and was filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. But miraculously healing the lame and raising the dead aren't the only ways to show the world that we are followers of Jesus, as I imagine you'll all be glad to hear. If we want to consider other ways that we can show people who we are as disciples and by extension who Jesus is, then I think we should look at Tabitha's works. The first thing we're told about Tabitha, apart from her name, is that she was devoted to good works and acts of charity. We know immediately what kind of person she was. And when Peter goes to Joppa, he is shown tunics and other articles of clothing that Tabitha has made. I don't think that Peter was shown all these bits of clothing simply so that he could admire what a fine skill Tabitha may have had with a needle or with the loom. I think there's something deeper here. We're not told what the clothes were for, but we might logically conclude that she made them either to give to the poor or to sell to raise money for the poor, because we know she was devoted to good works and acts of charity. How much time and attention and work must Tabitha have given to the making of those clothes? Clothes that, presumably, she would never wear, but that were made in love to provide for those in need. In being shown those clothes, Peter was shown what a good, caring, hard-working woman Tabitha was. And this raises a question for us. One that may not always be a comfortable question to consider. What kind of a person do our works reveal us to be? What do our works say about our discipleship, our devotion to Jesus, and our commitment to God's kingdoms? What literally do we have to show for ourselves? And what do our works reveal about who we believe Jesus to be? Of course, it might not be material things that show others who we really are. It might simply be the way that we respond to others, particularly those who are in need, or those who are a bit awkward. It might be how we change our lives as individuals or as a church congregation to better care for our planet and for our fellow species in recognition of God's love for the whole of creation. It might be the welcome that we offer to the stranger. It might be supporting a neighbor going through a tough time. It might be our response to a disaster appeal. Today, it might be how we engage with Christian Aid Week. Almsgiving, the collecting and distributing of money for the poor, has been part of the church's activities since the church began, or even before, really. If we remember back a couple of Sundays ago to the argument about the jar of perfume with which Jesus was anointed and how it could have been better used by selling it to raise money for the poor. This is why it's important that we mark Christian Aid Week and remind ourselves that caring for those in need is part of our Christian calling. Sharing the love of God through practical means helps to make the kingdom visible. It may well be the case that not all of us here are in a position to be able to give a financial donation, or we may be able to give only a little. Even so, by marking Christian Aid Week, thinking about and praying for the work of Christian Aid and other relief agencies, we can take our focus off ourselves, come to empathize with those in need, near and far, and open ourselves to God's call to love our neighbors as ourselves. Perhaps your calling is to give financially, or perhaps your calling is to give to others through giving of time or skill, like Tabitha did. You may be called to give in some way more locally, for example, through the food bank. And there are, I know, people in this congregation who are called to give to others through providing pastoral support and encouragement. How we are called and what exactly we are called to do are in some ways less important than how we respond to that call. It is in our response, our actions, that people will see who we are and what we believe. As Jesus said in Matthew's Gospel, it is by one's fruits that one is known. Amen.